Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Aaron Rodgers to the Bears, speculation is one of my favorite stories. I know some people hate it, but we'll get to that in a minute. Brett Favre weighed in on it, and he knows about playing for a division rival. Waddle is off today. Abdallah and Meller with me as normal, and you can watch us on twitch.tv or download the Twitch app and follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's all powered by Hawkeyes Bar and Grill and Miller Lite.
So, did you know that the ESPN 1000 Fantasy Football Championship is back? We're still doing it. I mean, we're ESPN 1000. There's still football season, NFL season at least. And we're going to do the Fantasy Football Convention and Fantasy Football Championship, but it's all going to be virtual. It's all presented by Miller Lite. It's back in a special 2020 fashion, virtual and exclusive, on August 27th. The only way to enter is by going to one of the 10 participating locations that we've been mentioning throughout the week. Today's is Hawkeyes Bar and Grill on Taylor Street. You go to that location, and they will give you a code, and you text that code for your chance to get in on the draft, and Field Yates is going to talk and everything like that. Your chance to compete against all of us. We're all going to be participating in the draft with everybody. So go now through August 23rd to Hawkeyes Bar and Grill on Taylor Street to find your text to win code, and you get the code and enjoy Little Italy's favorite pub with some ice cold Miller Lite. That's Hawkeyes on Taylor in Little Italy. Go to ESPNFFC.com for more details, and of course, please drink responsibly.
I got that website up in case you didn't get it too on my Instagram story today. You can follow me on Instagram at Mark A. Silverman. Abdallah, what's your Instagram page?
Adam A. Abdallah, cross-platform.
Instagram. And Meller, are you on Instagram right now?
Oh, I'm there if you want to follow me. I don't know if you'll get a whole lot of content, but you can follow me, Jeff_Meller,
yeah,
on both Instagram
DM
and Twitter.
Some fantasy stuff.
Specifically Shiba Inu content.
On the Instagram page.
Yes, specifically.
I saw about Field Yates, too, that like we're only letting like 100 listeners take part in his.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like where we used to pack him in and at the Horseshoe or at on the South Side 115 Bourbon Street, mm-hmm. where you can get 500, 1,000 people. Like, this is going to be a really exclusive event because of what's going on this year. So make sure you check out all that information and go to Hawkeyes and drink some ice cold Miller Lite. All right. So this intrigues me, guys. Again, it's like the Tom Brady situation where there's still hope for Tom Brady in Tampa. They had Jameis Winston, who was the number one overall pick. He threw for 5,000 yards. He threw for over 30 touchdowns, but he also like set the record with interceptions combined with all those numbers. And Bruce Arians said, enough. I'm going to court Tom Brady. I don't care if he's 43. And Brett Favre, on his third team, not second, you know, he was decent with the Jets, but on his third team, was like a play away from going to the Super Bowl. They lost in the NFC Championship game to the Saints when he played for the Vikings. And with the Bears, today was the first day that it was Foles against Trubisky. And it's, again, going to be one of these virtual competitions because you can't play these preseason games. There's not a whole lot of reps you can really judge this by. So, look, we hope, fingers crossed, the best-case scenario is if Mitch develops into that guy you thought he would. Awesome. Fine. Great. If Foles plays like he does as a Super Bowl guy he did with the Eagles, and he plays 16 games for the first time in his career. I don't think he's played more than 11 or 12 games in several years. He's not one of those guys that you can count on every year. That would be great, too. And if he validates why you gave up for a fourth-round pick. But if they don't, and you're either drafting a guy or in a year or two, you would like to have that divorce where Aaron Rodgers, and he's divorced many people in his day, hasn't he, guys? I mean, like, him and Danica broke up. He doesn't mm-hmm. even, like, talk to his family. So, like, it's destiny that he's going to have a parting of the ways with the Packers. It happens with everything he's been with. I would love for the landing spot to be in Chicago, even if it's at 39 years old. I'm desperate. I can't be a beggar at this point. So I am hopeful of this. And Brett Favre was on this podcast, the Load Management Podcast on Complex, weighing in on the Aaron Rodgers situation.
Where do you think he could go that would inflict the most punishment on the Packers? Like, say he wanted to go your route. You want to show him that you still got it. I was thinking the Bears, because the Bears got a pretty uneasy quarterback situation.
I would love to see that.
You'd love to see Aaron Rodgers on the
Bears? Well, I mean, just from a standpoint of we have killed the Bears collectively.
Yes.
And, I mean, Bear fans would probably be like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I am so glad Aaron Rodgers is on our team.
Oh, they would embrace him in a hot second. Oh,
in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't? I mean, who wouldn't? Yeah. He instantly makes you a contender.
So that was Favre. But we polled this question like a couple of months ago when this came up, when Jordan Love is being drafted, and we know that the end is near with Rodgers, whether it's in 2 years or whatever. And Rodgers even talked about this, about, you know, going somewhere else recently. And we know Chicago fans, guys, not everyone would embrace it, and I bet you a lot of people don't like it.
I agree, and I think that when you did that poll, we were surprised that, like, why wouldn't you want Aaron? People are like, oh, I wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers because I don't want to win with that guy. As soon as we come, I got to hear it from Packers fans that we could only win because we got Aaron Rodgers. It's the same with it's the same fans to me that don't want LeBron James or didn't want LeBron James on the Bulls because they want to beat him. They don't want to win with him. And it's like, what is wrong with you people? You know, we're literally arguing about Trubisky and Nick Foles here. One who couldn't even make the top 32 quarterbacks in the league, and one of them who was like, he's 30th, I guess, maybe. I mean, when they voted on quarterback tiers, they had to make up a tier for Mitchell Trubisky. And you don't want Brett Favre, you don't want Aaron Rodgers on the Bears? Are you serious?
People say he's 39. Like, if you want to come at me with that, fine. He's 39, the Packers saw the end, but I'm telling you, that with quarterbacks and Breeze playing and Brady playing and you know, he's more athletic than those two guys. He could play for a while. And I'm desperate, Meller. So this is something that I don't care. I am keeping my eye on it.
Yeah, like, I understand that we've all, I don't know if it's, you know, we've all kind of cultivated a sports hatred for Aaron Rodgers because of the history that we have, that he has, you know, and probably most famously, he beat the Bears in the NFC title game. He beat Jay Cutler. He made Brian Urlacher look silly when Urlacher should have taken that pick to the house, which could have really changed the game around at Soldier Field. But also, what could be better if you allow yourself to dream about Aaron Rodgers wearing number 12 in a Bears uniform and coming back to haunt the Green Bay Packers for choosing Jordan Love over him and watching Aaron Rodgers basically take the dagger to Wayne Larrabee and the Packers and having his own revenge in a Bears uniform and maybe leading the Bears to a Super Bowl title? Wouldn't that be better?
Like, you guys drafted Jordan Love instead of getting me another wide receiver the year after we went to the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. You were thinking about 2 years down the road instead of thinking about how can we get over the hump with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. That's good motivation.
And you want to talk about being petty. Not only would it be petty for him to come to the Bears and stick it to the Packers, how about sticking it to Danica Patrick? She's a Bears fan. Why don't you want the ultimate revenge? Make her cheer for the Bears with you on the team.
Phrasing?
What? Do we have her again? Do we? I mean, is she now rooting for the Bears?
She's a Bear. She's always been a Bears fan.
Well, but she said she was rooting for the Packers.
Not anymore.
Do you think that's the case? Is she? Do we welcome her back then too?
Absolutely. Why not? Listen, love will do a lot of things to someone, and I feel like if you won't accept Danica Patrick back into the fandom, especially now that she's rooting against the Packers, of course. You have a root against Aaron Rodgers until he comes here. And then guess what? You've got a choice to make. You have to decide. Where do your allegiances lie? Your pettiness for your ex-boyfriend or with a team you've rooted for your entire life? I think if I'm Aaron Rodgers and we know he's petty,
that this is awesome, right? Yeah. It's the best motivation ever.
Absolutely. Not only do you stick it to the team, but you stick it to your ex.
Do you know Brett Favre when he returned? Well, when he returned to the division and he played for the Vikings, and you recall that first year the Vikings went to the NFC title game. Brett Favre threw 7 touchdowns and had 0 interceptions as the Vikings went 2-0 against the Packers that year.
Wait, I mean, say that again in the revenge games?
In the revenge games. The 2 revenge games when Brett Favre played the first season for the Vikings against the Packers, he threw 7 touchdowns, had 0 interceptions, and they went 2-0 against the Packers.
That's amazing.
I mean, just for that alone, that could be... I mean, Aaron Rodgers, we know how vindictive he can be. We've seen it with his family firsthand. I mean, can you imagine having the opportunity to have Aaron Rodgers go out and just skewer the Green Bay Packers?
I hate my brother. I hate my family. I hate Danica Patrick. I hate what's her name, Olivia Mund. And now I hate the Packers. And now I want to make them wear it. And I'm going to be on this. And of course, the right answer is, your general manager can find the young guy who's going to be a stud, or your general manager could trade for somebody. But our current general manager had that situation, and he could have gotten it right with a dart and had a 66.6% chance of getting it right. He picked the 33.3. And besides not taking Mahomes and Watson, he also chose Mike Lennon. And now he also... his solution is Nick Foles, which I'm still hopeful, but I mean, what kind of a long-term answer is that? Like the higher ceiling short-term answer would be Rodgers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So with all that into the equation, even at 39, even though I'd want to draft a guy, even though there could be other solutions, Aaron Rodgers with hate in his heart is exactly what I would be cheering for in 2 years.
Oh, Sylvie, this morning, Todd McShay put out his first mock draft for the 2021 mock draft season. And 2020, 2021, you know what I mean. And I almost had a panic attack based on what the Bears are going to do.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There's already a mock out there. I guess they're not playing.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's already a mock out there. And I almost had a panic attack based on what I think Ryan Pace could do next in the next draft.
All right, so your thoughts at 332-3776. Favre says the Bears fans would embrace it. Are you like me, and are you desperate? And is that one? I'm not telling. I'm in this year. I'm in for the Bears, and I'm in that hopefully Nick Foles is a professional quarterback, and with this defense, the Bears can go far. And I'm not rooting against Trubisky. I hope the light goes on for Trubisky. I'm all in for this. But in the meantime, it doesn't look great. And I'm also an able-minded guy to say, hey, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a divorce with the Packers soon. Keep your eye on that. Are you doing the same thing? And what forced Abdallah to have a panic attack with the first mock draft ever out? He will share that with you coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
I guess the mock draft always comes out like after the draft happens. There's always the Todd McShay way too soon next year draft. But this is really weird, too, where there's a mock draft out that probably would not have any football for this year that goes into it. And we were talking about that yesterday, like Joe Burrow had a 5th-round grade at this time last year, and he was the number one overall pick. Think about all the, like Baker Mayfield, I think, had a 3rd-round grade. Think about all the guys who played 1 year or had multiple, or all of a sudden came out of nowhere, and from 1 year to the next, because a season was played, mm-hmm. that they all of a sudden vaulted themselves into like the top 10 of the draft. So you say that there's how did you phrase this?
So regarding I had a panic attack this morning.
Panic attack.
I got hot. I got sweaty. Took my temperature. Everything was cool. It was just Ryan Pace scaring me. So Todd McShay puts out his 2021 NFL mock draft, Todd McShay's early predictions for all 32 first-round picks, right? So he's got Jacksonville being the worst team and taking Trevor Lawrence. Congratulations, Jacksonville. He's got the Washington football team, the WFTs, taking Patrick Surtain, the corner out of Alabama, Roll Tide. And, like, to me, okay, are we sold on Dwayne Haskins as a quarterback?
No.
Okay, so they might need a quarterback. So maybe Justin Fields goes there. He's got the Bengals being really bad again. They take an offensive tackle. The Panthers take Justin Fields at 4, but he may move up to number 2 depending on how it is.
He's projecting both who the draft pick would be and where the teams would be drafted.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So the Dolphins take a wide receiver. They're set at quarterback. The Giants take a linebacker. They're set at quarterback. The Lions take a wide receiver. They're set at quarterback. The Jets are set on their quarterback. They take a corner.
You just never know, though. I mean,
right?
Look, Brown.
Absolutely. Are the Raiders set with Derek Carr? Because they've got the Raiders.
No.
Going number 9.
Especially if he has a bad year.
So I've named 3 possible teams that could take a quarterback before the Bears pick at 14.
Right
there in mediocre land again. 8-8, 7-9 probably, maybe even 6-10. More likely 8-8. And he's got the Bears with the 14th pick selecting Trey Lance, the quarterback out of North Dakota State. Great quarterback for the FCS. Great quarterback. 300 passing attempts in 2019, no interceptions. He's got dual threat production. I mean, look, he's really good. He's really good. That's not what I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is this is the scenario that I played in my head, right, Sylvie? I see this, and I'm like, okay, so I see this. I'm like, all right, I get the alert. I open it up. I'm like, where do the Bears pick? All right, they're not in the top 10. Maybe he's got them, you know, later. Maybe this is the one national analyst that doesn't think the Bears are going to be crap. And I go, and I go to 14. I'm like, oh, no, that's not good. And then I'm like, oh, a quarterback at 14? Because then I think about this. What if? Now, I get it. If the Bears are picking 14th, Ryan Pace probably isn't. But, however, listen to this, right? What if Nick Foles gets hurt? What if Trubisky plays and just isn't good? And Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are given another opportunity because they're like, hey, guess what? Foles got hurt. We couldn't help it. We knew Trubisky wasn't going to be good. That's why we didn't pick up his fifth-year option, so he's gone. We have to draft a quarterback. I've rebuilt the entire defense. We've extended Allen Robinson. We're a decent team. We're one quarterback away. All we need is a quarterback. So let's try to get this quarterback right. And he's like, I like Trey Lance. Okay, cool. He's going to be the third quarterback taken in the draft. But then what? Now you've got two teams that in the top 5 that are going to take a quarterback. And I guarantee you, another team is going to take a quarterback. So I had this sweat. My whole body was taken over in a deep sweat like I'd run a marathon, which I would never do. But if I did, this is what I would look like. Because he's going to trade up again for a quarterback.
For one double-A quarterback.
Trey Lance might be the right. Next Aaron Rodgers. I don't know.
Well, isn't Carson Wentz playing in the FBS?
Yeah. But you know what I mean. Like, I'm just saying, like, a franchise quarterback for years and years right?
Sure.
He could be that guy. But there's no way he lasts until 14. There's no way. So if the Bears end up with the 14th pick and they need a quarterback, he's trading up. And God only knows what he's trading up. Who knows what future he's going to mortgage this time to trade up.
How many picks you have to give up?
How many picks are going to have to pick? Because everybody knows they can take advantage of Ryan Pace because teams have done it before.
I think, and Mellor, what's your opinion on this? To me, if this doesn't work with these two guys for whatever reason, even if it is a Foles injury, because he has been injury prone, and Trubisky doesn't pan out, I don't believe there's any way that you let Ryan, and they're bad, like say they're bad or mediocre, I don't think Ryan Pace gets another shot at choosing another quarterback.
Yeah, I don't want him to be. I wonder, though, is there... This is all going to come down to how Ryan Pace can manage his own career inside Hall's Hall. Can he convince Ted Phillips and the McCaskies, George McCaskey, that he's done enough where he should be allowed to make the... Like, honestly, all that's going to need to take place is if he can convince them that he gets another crack at another draft. Because if he does... He can go ahead and make the decision on his own.
How would you do that, though, on the basis of Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky, and if Foles is injured or something? all that. How could you do that where you say, I'm the right guy? Not only are we not good, but now we need another quarterback, and I'm the guy to get you him.
But are we going off of the fact that they're picking 14th the way McShay suggests here?
Right. So what is that, a 7-9 season?
Yeah, I mean, like if you find yourself into a weird position where you're close to 500, I think you can make all sorts of arguments, whether or not they're, you know, good arguments is, you know, we can all debate that. And I know we certainly will on a daily basis. But I think if you're Ryan Pace and you're inside that room, he seems to have a pretty good, you know, relationship with the McCaskey family right now. And I think, you know, if they're close to 500, I think he might be able to sell them on giving him another crack at another draft. Maybe he says, look, I've got Matt Nagy in this building. Matt Nagy knew that Pat Mahomes was the guy. Matt Nagy knew in Kansas City. He helped them select Pat Mahomes. Just give me a chance in this next draft with Matt Nagy, you know, breaking down the film, and we'll find the next and first real franchise quarterback for this Chicago Bears franchise. I think I could find a scenario where he, you know, sells his case and convince. Because, look, I don't think the McCaskies don't like making change for change's sake. You know what I mean?
I guess it was obvious that Phil Emery needed to go. But
like they're more, I think they're almost more prone.
Need I bring up the financial situation that we're going to be in with fans in the stands?
That is true. We're going through the Jim Boylan situation now.
Well, look, and Matt Nagy's no Jim Boylan, but if we're going through this, are the Bears going to be willing to?
Nagy's going to be back unless it's an absolute disaster.
Cool.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. Nagy is, whether or not he's pulling the coup off, it all depends on, you know, right, how bad they are. But I think Matt Nagy will be brought. He has a good chance of being brought back next year.
If they're going after a quarterback again, I think it was a caller's idea that, like, you have an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. Like, Ryan Pace is my defensive picker. Like, he could pick guys who are defensive players because he's got a pretty good track record at doing that. And he could definitely pick in the fourth round because he's definitely been able to do that. I'm not letting him, A, go rogue. I'm not letting him, B, trade up. And I'm not letting him pick offensive guys. I'm letting Nagy do it or somebody else do it.
The problem
is, he doesn't get to pick the quarterback.
I'm working out this analogy, so bear with me. But this is like Jack and the Beanstalk. Like, he needs to go sell the cow and he comes back with some beans. Like, well, no, I told you. Well, you told me to sell the cow. Like, I brought you back some beans. This is not what you wanted. Like, Matt Nagy could tell him to be like, okay, go get this quarterback. And he's like, well, I traded 4 first-round picks for him. Well, that's not what I wanted you to do. Well, you wanted the quarterback.
What happened in Jack and the Beanstalk again? Because I brought this up recently. He's supposed to go sell the family cow
because the family is in dire need of money. So they go sell the cow, bring back the money. He goes and he sells the cow, but all he brings back is the beans. And they're like, what is wrong with you, Jack, you dummy? And he's like, well, you told me to sell the cow, but I got these beans. And he's like, yeah, we needed money.
Magic beans.
Yeah, magic beans. He's like, they said they were magic.
It grows really, really high.
Huge beanstalk. Yeah.
Yeah, so he grows the beanstalk and he goes up, kills the giant, gets the money. Yeah.
He takes all the Giants' loots. Was there a golden goose that
I don't know how
you guys remember this stuff.
I don't. I mean,
I just remember that the beanstalk was tall. I don't know how he got the beans or if there was a golden goose.
I thought the golden goose was part of. I don't know. I might be mixing my nursery rhymes. I'm not sure.
No, I'm. Who am I to doubt you?
I know there's no breadcrumbs. That's all I know.
You're the one who remembered Patrick Sharp's prime scoring opportunity in Game 7 against the Canucks.
That's sports. So, it's not about a fairy tale. That's probably the problem. At 5, I wanted to know more about the Cubs than I wanted to know about a fairy tale.
The goose. You know? Twitch is telling us that the goose that laid the golden egg is in Jack of the Beanstalk.
Oh, good.
Yes.
So good recall,
Miller. So now his family's got goose eggs. Forever, which is like, but no, ours aren't golden.
Golden goose eggs.
Ours are not golden, though. We just have goose eggs. A bunch of zeros.
Yeah, because Mitch can't score touchdowns.
See,
we brought it all together.
My fever dream, is that something happens to Foles. He gets hurt. Trubisky, they're like, look, and he goes, look, look at all the good I've done. I've rebuilt the entire defense. Ugh. We have some weapons
Isn't that great?
They're top 10.
I know.
That's a top 10 defense.
That's why the Rodgers thing to me makes the most sense, because the Rodgers thing is still a short-term thing and it's worth a try, than to letting a guy choose a future quarterback and trade up for him that could have ramifications for several years when he's shown you that he can't draft a quarterback.
I'm telling you too, Sylvie, mark my words, this is Aaron Rodgers' last year in Green Bay.
Because I think it's a lot of money they're going to take a hit
Bold
on.
Bold prediction.
But here's why. I truly think, because listen, if you're the Packers, you pick Jordan Love in the first round. You need to get him on the field in his second year. I don't think they're going to wait. We're going to want to wait till his third year for the first opportunity for him to get onto the field, and then they need to start making a decision on a fifth year option.
What if Rodgers is great, though? I mean, why would you want to run? Why are you in a hurry to run? That's what I don't.
Why were they in a hurry to draft Jordan Love?
I don't know. I don't know, but we may benefit off of it one day. All right, 312-332-3776. Always your voice is heard right here, and we've got crazy voice stuff coming up with Waddle's World. That's next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. So many aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks, Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Adam Abdallah in for Tom Waddle today with Sylvie. I've had 7 beers. I've got a dip in, and I am staring at all of the tall buildings.
It's a dip.
Yes. Dip. You're filling the void nicely, Mallor. That Waddle would definitely say that.
Yes. So we'll start with the White Sox beating the Tigers 7-5. Tim Anderson went 4-for-5. He's been hot. He came back yesterday. He's been hot since his return yesterday. Dylan Cease goes 6 innings with 1 earned run. He was given up. He gave up 2 home runs. He gave up some dongs.
He struggled a bit.
Some
I think
dongs,
it was the
dong, dong,
fourth
dong.
Inning, but after that, he
yeah,
got
he
it.
Yeah, he settled
got
down afterwards. Yeah, after he gave up the second home run.
Eloy Jimenez dove into the netting again.
No, he didn't.
He did. No, he did.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Yes.
He did. There's a
what?
Picture. There's a picture going around of him sitting in the netting like it's a hammock. The ball went foul, so he didn't like dive for it. It went over the netting, but he did end up in the netting once again.
We have to get that like a t-shirt where Eloy on a t-shirt is like
obvious shirts. Hey, Cub fan, settle down and stop trolling the Sox fans. All right, we get
it. I got to talk about that later too. About the whole whenever
you just
I tweet
stick to
now
your
about
cubbies,
the
all right?
Whenever I tweet about the Sox now, everyone thinks I'm trolling.
I think you are.
Sylvie, all you do is talk about the Cubs. Sylvie, all you do is talk about the Cubs. Then when I say Ricky Renteria should not bench Luis Robert when there's no Tim Anderson, mm-hmm. and who else was hurt the other day? Someone
Larry.
Else was
Garcia. You keep your nose out of Sox business.
Oh, Encarnacion?
Okay. You just keep your nose out of White Sox business.
Yes. And then Robert's out of the lineup.
He went 1-for-5 today with a run.
Yeah, big home run.
Yeah, he was good. Good.
You worry about your Cubbies.
Or a double.
We'll
handle
the bases.
It was a big double, yeah.
Bases clearing double. Yeah,
big double. Chuck Garfine will join us later. He's currently doing the White Sox postgame show. So he will join us later on in the show for a full White Sox recap.
You know, I'll say this if I'm allowed to weigh in on the Sox.
No,
you are not.
You're not. See, here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Talk
I'll tell you
this. Talk about the Sox, Sylvie. Talk about the Sox. Don't talk about the Sox.
I'll tell you this, Sylvie. You're either going to get... You have to decide the kind of hate you want, right? You're going to get hated on for talking about the Sox because you're a Cubs fan and I'm not saying you've ignored the Sox. You spent a lot of time on the Cubs because they're relevant, and the White Sox were not relevant for a while they were doing their rebuild, and now they're relevant again because they're decent, right? Or you can go the cap route where you're like, I'm just a fan of everybody now.
I'll take what's behind door number one.
Okay, so you have to just deal with the haters. Embrace the haters. Embrace it. Embrace all the satisfied customers.
I mean, like with the Bears, people know who I am. Like, you know, if I'm pissed about the Bears, I'm going to talk about the Bears or joke about the Bears. I love the Bears, though. Same thing with my Cubs. When I'm down, you don't think I'm making Craig Kimbrell jokes? So if I'm going to watch the White Sox, I'm still going to watch it with a critical eye. But I will say this in a non-critical way, that if you're a White Sox fan, that they've already illustrated this after the slow start of the first two series, and then they rattled off six in a row. They have that bad loss, and Keuchel steps up, and he says, hey, we didn't look like we were into the game, and we've got to play better. They've ripped off two wins since. This team does seem like it's got that where, hey, we're not going to stay down for long, and we've got bounce-back ability. Is that nice enough? But that's the way I would analyze it. I think that's something that you look at. And in a year where there's an expanded playoff field, I think when they're down, this team won't stay down long.
You worry about Jose Quintana.
And with their win, they are back into one of those wild card spots. So right now, they are, would be one of the eight teams to make the playoffs in the American
League.
Yeah,
and they got a bunch of home games after this.
Kyle Schwarber was scratched today from today's lineup due to a right knee contusion. So he's out today. David Ross said he's out of the lineup, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's not available.
Right. We know in Cleveland with a knee that he could still bat and rake.
Absolutely.
So this is when he got hit in the knee with the ball the other day.
So Bryant will play left field. David Bode, who has a big anniversary today.
Yes, two-year anniversary.
Will play third, and Caratini will be your DH. This week's injury report on the Juan on Sylvie show is brought to you by Rush University Medical Center. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at choosrush.org.
I got a good Cubs poll question for people too later, brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers.
Mm. Ohio State coach Ryan Day wants Big Ten football season to start in January now after not being able to play in the fall. Day is exploring ways to get the Buckeyes on the field as quickly as possible, including a spring season that begins in early January and wraps up before the NFL draft in late April. He says the planning process for a spring season must begin immediately and thinks the Big Ten could begin play in early January with an 8 or 9 game schedule.
Yeah, I saw Reese Davis today on Get Up, and there aren't many people who know more about college football than Reese Davis. And he said it is utterly ridiculous. Feinbaum said the same thing, too. Greeny came on yesterday, that he believes it's utterly ridiculous to even think about a spring football season, that it is irresponsible, and he believes there's no chance of it happening.
You can't say that you're concerned about player safety when it comes to the coronavirus and then say let's play two seasons in 1 year, because then you're not concerned about player safety.
Yeah, and who knows what it's like. You're right about that. And Lovey today talked and he talked about, you know, the scholarship situation. There are so many weird things that they would have to figure out for spring season, and then the safety part that you just brought up.
What I want to know is, when are they going to determine whether or not the kids, because like the Big Ten has come out and said, Kevin Warren said that Nebraska, if they want to remain in the Big Ten, they can't play this year, or at least until the Big Ten says they can. You can't go out and try to form your own little conference. You can't go back to the Big 12. They don't want anybody leaving. So
can't you play scrimmages, or what you call scrimmages, and like, okay, we're not leaving the Big Ten, but what we're gonna do is we're gonna play a little bit of a scrimmage this week against pick a Pac-12 team.
They don't want organized football. And USC, well, USC's AD came out and said that he believes that no one could look at the medical data that they have and think it's safe to play football this year. That being said, the Big 12 announced their plans to proceed with the fall sports season. They put out a schedule that's entitled Blanket, We're Playing. If at any point our scientists and doctors conclude that our institutions cannot provide a safe and appropriate environment for our participants, we will change course, the league said as part of a statement. They've got tons of new...
Their doctors, not the Pac-12's doctors.
Well, no, their doctor is Dr. Nick from Simpsons.
Hey, everybody.
We're going to play football. Basically, if you look at their procedures, they've added a ton... I think players are going to get tested 3 times a week, and if they do test positive, in addition to the quarantine, they're going to do extra EKGs, extra cardiographs, extra everything to try to determine if someone gets myocarditis and how, you know, serious it is. They also said, this doesn't mean we're going to play. Everybody slow down.
That's the other thing that the Big Ten coaches are mad about. They didn't think that Burns needed to make the decision yesterday.
Well, because it prompted the Pac-12. As soon as the Big Ten did it, the Pac-12 were like, yep, we're out too. So you basically just canceled two leagues when you should have just said, look, we're going to take a little bit of time. Because the Big 12 schedule put out there,
it's not looking good, but we're going to let our kids.
Exactly.
Let's see what happens. Like, people believe, like, I think the ACC has said this too, that when the kids get back on campus, it it's going to put bring in a whole new element, because then you're going to have people on campus who could infect the football players.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could just say, look, we can't do it on campus here. We just can't.
Of course, that's what's going to happen.
Well, I still think that there are ways to do it, even if kids, because you can't tell me that you can have kids that come back, but you can't play football. Like, you're cool with kids going to dorms and being in dorms and being at parties and being at bars, but you're not cool with them playing football?
They're not cool with them going to parties and going to bars.
Then don't have them come back to campus.
Well, Abdel,
they are, though. A lot.
Here's the truth, though. If they're not coming back to campus, they can't charge them for room and board.
I understand that. I get that. But ultimately, if you think it's safe enough to have kids come back, it should be safe enough for them to play football. It's like Aaron Rodgers said today on a podcast. Besides, I want to be a bear. He said, "How can we tackle each other for 3 hours, and then I can't go shake hands at the end of games?"
Well, they can't. We've made that point time and time again.
It's ridiculous.
Of course.
The rules don't make sense.
The truth is, the NFL, if you're playing the football game, it's stupid to institute these other silly. Again, it's a hygiene theater. That was a term coined by someone in an author in the Atlantic. It's like, oh, we're going to pretend that we're putting all these safety measures in place. But if you're playing football and you're breathing close to each other for 3+ hours, you're going to infect people if you have it.
Mm-hmm.
So the truth is, this is why the testing is paramount. If guys are not positive, you can go ahead and play football and play safely, but you need to ensure
testing, yes.
that guys are not positive when they're playing football.
Yes, absolutely. That's the only way.
No spectators will be allowed at Augusta National for the Masters this year.
The most anticlimactic decision they've made. I thought that was made already.
No, they hadn't made a final decision. They moved it to November 12th to the 15th.
Right.
That weekend, and they said, we'll see if we can, because who knows what's going to be happening in November. And then they're like, yeah, about that, no fans.
Jason Stark had an interesting take about a baseball postseason bubble like we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues to bring up that it's eerie watching these games with no fans. Again, I'm way past that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm just happy, dude, the Cubs were playing last night against the Indians after 4 days off. Do I think it's sad if I really start thinking about it during a game? But I've gotten used to no fans in the stands, and I'm just happy with the sport. When the Hawks were playing last night, I wasn't pissed there was no fans in Edmonton. I was pissed that the Hawks looked awful in the third period, and they couldn't execute a power play.
And Leonard kept breaking his damn skate.
Skate, yeah.
The NBA aims to prevent casual guests from entering the bubble. The league is requiring players to provide proof of a long-standing relationship with non-family members, according to a memo obtained by ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski.
We need receipts.
The NBA. Well, listen, if I've been DMing with a girl for a few years, why can't she come in?
You have to meet her, though. You can't do.
You don't know if we've met or not.
Serious question to both. What do you guys think when you hear long standing? How long is that to you? Just curious. Like, what is your initial reaction?
I think that if you're dating somebody and you're not just having sex with somebody, that's good.
Some folks, that's what dating actually constitutes.
Well, then like I said, if they're going home after that and in an Uber and not staying the night, not having breakfast, and then you're not allowed in the bubble.
How about this? Pre-shutdown. Pre-shutdown. You have to have been with this person pre-everything shutting down.
For how long pre-shutdown?
Well, I mean,
these are NBA players. Some NBA players have a long-standing relationship with lots of people in lots of different cities pre-shutdown.
Listen, as long as they test negative for coronavirus, let them in.
What if you're James Harden or you're some other NBA player and you invite... how many do they get? Do they get a +3? Is this like a wedding?
He literally invites +3.
He's like, you know what?
Merkin's bringing +11.
It's not just bubble sex. It's bubble orgy sex, because I got a +3. But I've known them all.
It's complicated.
It's a long-standing relationship.
Isn't that what the old Facebook relationship thing?
Yes.
It's complicated. Yes.
That's NBA bubble relationship. It's complicated.
Coming up next, I've got a Slurpee fight, a Burger King fight,
and a
soda shortage. That's next. This hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available at 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
The nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball is bound to get a little nutty. A man was jailed yesterday on a felony Slurpee battery charge. Investigators allege that Brian Duffy, a 40-year-old man, doused a 7-Eleven employee with a frozen treat during a 9:20 a.m. argument about the drink's price inside a store.
How can you argue with the Slurpee price? Isn't it posted right there on the Slurpee machine?
I would think so. It's not like yogurt where it goes by weight. You know?
Right. I mean, it's like, oh, boy, I remember back in the day when you get yourself a 39-cent Slurpee. How old do I sound right now? They used to have those specials. And I am a Slurpee guy. Are you guys Slurpee guys? Back in the day?
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah. At some point, I transitioned out of the sugary water into a more mature person. But no, yeah, look, once in a while, I'll tell you what, the only time I ever actually, like, lately have gotten a quote-unquote Slurpee-like drink is when I will go to, the movie theater, and they'll have the...
won't be doing for a while.
Yeah, exactly. But I will admit that going to the movie theater, seeing the slushy/Slurpee, I can usually be persuaded to go ahead and purchase one then. But at a certain point, I kind of grew out of the Slurpee phase.
Is the Slurpee machine still self-service during all this?
That is a good question.
Probably.
Yes. Because I haven't had a Slurpee in years, but it brings back great memories.
I would think, honestly, self-service is probably the preferred method, right? Because
do you want people touching the Slurpee? Aren't all self-service stuff basically done?
No. You're still pumping your own gas.
A lot of grocery stores have added more self-service checkout lines because it's actually in some way safer.
But is the hot bar open?
No, hot bar's gone.
But this is a fair question. Is the Slurpee self-serve more like a hot bar or like a checkout?
Is self-serve coffee available?
I think so.
You could still go in and pour your own coffee in the convenience store.
It's a good question. I haven't gone recently.
Neither have I. I haven't been anywhere except the hospital. So.
Well, that was uplifting.
I know, right? Let me bring everyone down right now.
On that note,
that's all right. Tomorrow's your edible day, so it's all good. Right?
Yeah.
Friday. Oh, Friday's my edible day.
Sorry, I got ahead of you. Yeah,
after treatment, I can't go to sleep, so I now partake in edibles to get me sleep and probably more milligrams than I probably should.
A Dr. Pepper shortage has sent soda drinkers into a panic. There's a shortage of a lot of sodas. I don't know if you like these.
Pop.
Pop sodas, whatever you want to call it.
No, pop.
But there's a shortage of the lesser consumed beverages because there's an aluminum shortage. I found this out. Chris Bleck's wife told me about this because she was looking for beverages and couldn't find them. I like tequila and Fresca. We talked about this yesterday with Charles Barkley. There has been a Fresca shortage because the company that makes Fresca the cost of aluminum has gone up because there's an aluminum shortage because of the pandemic. So they're focusing on making the key brands like Coke, Diet Coke, Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, 7-Up, Sprite. But the other stuff, the fringe stuff that these companies make, like Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew.
Jolt.
Jolt.
Remember Jolt with twice the caffeine?
I love Jolt.
It was Red Bull before Red Bull, right?
Yeah. And all those companies they've stopped producing those other brands that they also, those other flavors, I guess, that they also make. And people are scouring stores for them. And I've been able to find Fresca in weeks.
I used to love Dr. Pepper too. Oh, did I love Dr. Pepper and Cherry Coke?
Is it 17 flavors in Dr. Pepper?
It's a lot of flavors.
Yeah.
I forget their tagline.
It was damn good though.
You guys want to play a game?
Yeah.
Are we still doing that?
Yeah, why not?
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Wow.
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Woman throws a fit at a Burger King because employees won't serve her lunch at 9 a.m.
Happening all the time now.
At 9 a.m., a woman...
You should be able to get a burger at any time if they're open.
A woman was arrested after causing a disturbance at a Burger King, allegedly because she was unable to order lunch during its breakfast hours. The incident occurred around 9 a.m. on Monday at a Burger King. The restaurant was still serving its breakfast menu at the time and was apparently unable to offer lunch options. There's a lot that goes into
it. Why?
Because there's a lot that goes into it.
I'm with you on that. No. McDonald's ended this years ago where it's breakfast all day, it's lunch all day. You get what you want, whatever they serve.
I don't think you can get lunch all day at McDonald's. I feel like you can get breakfast all day. I don't know if you can get lunch all day.
You can't get a burger at 10 a.m.?
I don't think so.
Why? What is the reason? I need a fast food person.
Can you tell me if you're... Why, as a business, am I going to prevent myself from making money... Like, they have everything
it's
they need to make the burger.
Time.
I don't care if it's breakfast time. You pull it out of the freezer.
You're the weirdo that wants a burger at 8:30 in the morning.
A steak and eggs sometimes. Why not a burger?
Because then go somewhere where they're serving you a burger. Don't
Apparently,
go to a Burger
there's nowhere
King.
Where they serve a burger at 8 a.m. if you need one. Got to make it
what
yourself.
What if you're working third shift and, look, your schedule's off. You want a burger.
I ask you, because we are pressed for time, where did the woman throw a fit? At a Burger King that wouldn't serve her lunch at 9 a.m.
This is definitely happening in, I think they're less flexible in Ohio.
I'm going to say in honor of Tampa Bay's big win in quintuple overtime, I'll go with Florida.
A woman threw a fit because a Burger King would not serve her lunch at 9 a.m. in Crawford County, Ohio.
Yeah, all right. That's a big W. All right, coming up in 2 short minutes, I asked the question on Twitter. Cubs fans, do you have that 2016 feeling? It's a Wednesday. They're playing in Cleveland. So I ask, do you have that 2016 feeling once again with an 11-3 record? We'll debate that in 2 minutes.